Checking in right now with Dr. Fred Brown of Griffin Health. And Dr. Brown, thanks for being here. How you doing?
Very good. How are you, Melissa?
Doing fine, thank you. So a lot of people talking about the buzz out of Russia and the news about a vaccine there. What are you thinking? Reliable? What were your thoughts on this?
You know, it's always tough to say. I think it's very encouraging. It's definitely not surprising. We should be around this time expecting to see a vaccine. I'm not familiar with sort of the efficacy or what version they're actually using. But again, I know throughout the world, we've been working on a vaccine. So very encouraging.
I know a lot of people get nervous when you hear about people in different phases and people almost competing to be like the first to have the vaccine. But it is a good thing that we've got so many different groups of people working on this, right?
Right. Absolutely. And we want to make sure, we want to make sure that it's safe. We don't want to make sure. And we do know that there's been some unethical practices on different aspects of this. So we want to be really careful that what is, what has been defined as the vaccine is actually gone through the appropriate trials. They're safe and effective.
And Dr. Fred Brown, I have seen, actually, surprisingly this week, a lot of studies, and I wanted to talk about each of them with you, if you don't mind, all COVID-related. Let's start with this one, because I actually just ordered one, so that when I run in and out of stores, it's a little bit easier than grabbing the mask and remembering it, and that's a neck gaiter. So I know in amusement parks and things like that, you are not allowed to wear a neck gaiter, because it's sort of ineffective and it could still spread your germs. But I thought it was okay to be able to wear these, like I said, if you have to run in really quick to go pick up something from the store or, just so that people have that peace of mind, if you will. But studies are showing that neck gaiters are actually worse than if you just don't wear a mask at all. What's the truth behind this?
That is actually interesting. I saw that study also, and that was out of Duke. So that was pretty reputable study. What they did is, and again, it depends what you're doing for studies. So what they did is they actually were able to detect particles that pass through a barrier, and they were able to measure those particles. And what they found, and not to go into the full details, but what they found is certain types of cloth coverings would actually not only not stop the droplets, but actually split them and make them a little bit more aerosolized. Now, again, this is not the virus. This is actually a study that demonstrates sort of how effective something is to not aerosolize. So they then inferred that if you actually wear things like a neck gaiter or a handkerchief, because they are thin, what happens is they can potentially break up the particles and maybe even aerosolize it a little bit more. Again, you got to take that sort of with, the inference that's actually there, where they found that regular surgical masks and cloth masks, so just regular cotton cloth masks, didn't do that. They actually captured the particles and didn't transmit them.
Okay, so probably in layman's terms, a good idea to just invest in the masks and leave the gaiters behind.
Absolutely.
Okay, yeah. Fair enough. Yeah, that's what I needed to know. So don't wear the gaiter out. Just wear it as a headband. I got
it. Wear it as a headband. Yeah, and if anything, it's probably more effective to have a modified T-shirt than it is to have a bandana.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, that's a big difference because remember in the beginning of the pandemic, it was like, just cover yourself, whatever that means. And now, we're 5 months into it. So now the standards have to be a little bit better. So that is very helpful. Thank you.
And it's an early study, so as I said, and there's a lot of these studies that sort of come out. So again, that's how I would interpret that one.
Now, I'm sure you saw this one. There's a study saying that when you're indoors, you actually could spread germs as far as 16 feet apart, not 6 feet apart, which is a huge difference. Now, how accurate is that?
That one is really dependent on where you are, what's happening, what kind of ventilation you have within the organization that you're in. So there's a lot of nuances associated with that. And again, I think it just goes to the fact that it's important to wear wear a mask. We do know that you're probably a little bit safer outside than you are inside. You have two factors with that. One, you have the aspect of, potentially wearing a mask. The other is, there is a little bit of wind, but also sunlight and UV light kills viruses, kills all viruses. Mm-hmm. So again, I would probably take that along the lines of, you know, it is possible, and it's possible to develop designs if there's no airflow whatsoever or a forced airflow. Yeah, I mean, the germs could spread a little bit longer, but I would not take much into that.
Okay. And my last study that I saw, which to me is sort of a no-brainer, and I just love that they keep coming out with more reasons not to vape, because I don't know why we're still discussing it. Right. Just don't do it. But there was something else that came out that said teens and young adults who vape are actually 5 to 7 times more likely to catch COVID-19. Now, I would imagine that's because this could impact your lungs and sort of your respiratory system, which is right in line with COVID symptoms, right?
Absolutely. You know, and again, I think anything that causes damage to your lungs, vaping, smoking, it causes a significant reaction in your lungs and decreases your local immune system. So your first defense against a virus or a bacteria is actually eliminated when you smoke or vape. So it stunts those little cilia that get rid of all this kind of debris that you have in your lungs. So absolutely, I would not be surprised at that. And if you remember before COVID, we were seeing a lot of people who were getting very sick from vaping. There was deaths associated with vaping. It's, you know, the water that's potentially brought in, is it clean? What's potentially coming in? How is it irritating the lungs? But yeah, there's several episodes of severe lung disease secondary to vaping.
Dr. Fred Brown of Griffin Health. I think I'm going to start calling this segment I don't want to call it the debunk the studies, but it's like deeper dive into the studies with Dr. Fred Brown. What do you think?
Sounds good.
I feel
Absolutely.
Like that's becoming our weekly segment now, and
Absolutely.
I love it.
Happy to get. There's a lot of misinformation that's out there between the lay press and, you know, there's an interpretation of studies where it comes from very good organizations, but their nuances and you know, sometimes there are people who want to get their sort of 15 minutes of fame to, mm-hmm. to get out there.
Mm-hmm.
So anything I can do to help.
Well, we appreciate it. We're glad we have Dr. Fred Brown in our back pocket. None of that other stuff. We've got Dr. Fred Brown. So there you go.
Well, thank you, Melissa. I appreciate it.
Thank you. We'll talk to you again really soon.